January 26th. Today was another empty-headed day, not head-down plodding, just wordless. The 50-year-long postmodernist moment that has recently come to a close did its best to convince me and everyone else that human experience was bounded within the range of language, words. I never believed that when I was young, and I don't believe it now that I am old. I have survived the penal colony of postmodernism mostly because I am very stubborn, very good at passing, and very good at hiding what most matters to me when I have to, which is most of the time. I'd been walking for about 2 miles without words, but still thinking. I understood that for some reason today, something that had been ongoingly turbulent in the seemingly eternal moment of my emotional universe was getting settled. It felt like a song feels, just as you sing the last note. The residue of the sound is still in the air, the memory of the music, but that time sequence is over. Maybe another song will begin, like the way an album of songs works, and another pattern of time will emerge. Maybe not, and time will just move randomly for a while, unorganized by sonic rhythms. When I had this sense of soundless time, for some reason, I thought of Beethoven, whose emotional spaces always feel as gigantic and overwrought to me as mine do, on the inside, out of sight. His symphonies, for example, seem to stagger to a halt, striving over and over again to reach closure, only to have the theme rise up violently out of silence, trying to take over again. Sooner or later, though, the silence wins out. I love that staggering phase of my own emotional life, when something huge, something I am in love with or at a loss with, keeps trying to come to a close but won't and won't and won't, and then it does. That's what I felt had happened today. Maybe the previous days of empty-headedness were like those hard brake pedal pushes Beethoven keeps trying to apply to his runaway music. I won't be sure this is true for a while, having the silence hold strong when the theme of this sound tries to become noise again in my head. That might take weeks, even months. But today I was happy thinking that maybe, now, finally, I've made it. The specifics of this are not important. Only the instant when singing becomes silence. At such a moment, there is not a change of tempo or pitch. There is a change of state. And it happens fast, just like that. The way distilled, unperturbed water can change states in a flash as soon as you touch it. I've read about that. How a water bottle left in a car, for example, in freezing weather will appear to be drinkable. Until you pick it up, the whole thing solidifying instantly with that jostle. Or how pure water, heated past the boiling point, will not show any signs of it, the customary bubbling up, unless you disturb it. Then there's the ruckus. That was what I felt like today. Something got jostled, and a change of state I hadn't quite processed flashed in instantly. Done. I'm so grateful for that. I can't tell you how grateful. Well, I could maybe this way. Think of a long period of time during which you try mightily, beyond your best, to make something you deeply desire happen. Failing, 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 getting back up, back up, back up, over and over, trying harder and harder and harder. And then one day, you just stop. Or it stops, might be more accurate. You are set free. You have nothing. But now there is room at least for some other something to come along and melt the ice or condense the steam so you can drink again. That's what I mean. When I started to think again, the first image that popped into my head was the entire range of the electromagnetic wavelength spectrum, from gamma rays at 3,000 hertz to extra-long frequency waves at 3 hertz. I just got those numbers from Wikipedia, of course. I didn't have them memorized. I knew that the range of frequencies we could see, visible light from violet to red, was only a small part of this spectrum. But the way it was actually scaled out over the whole of it stunned me. So I checked further to find out what portion we actually see. 0.0035%. That's it. When I started to think about this today, it was with the sense that the visible portion of the spectrum was comparable to the portion of our experience that we can realize and render in words. So small. And we tend to think it is all. But there are vast spaces of active energy that both precede and follow words. We have direct experiential access to the inner and outer reaches of that spectrum via our presence in the world and to ourselves. And we have, I believe, direct access to at least some of those inner and outer reaches in others, too, if we are present with them, pay attention. Listen, not just with our ears, but with our whole body, that amazing antenna we are gifted with at birth into this particular world, the one we lose connection with slowly over time, because all we hear, both in our own heads and in others' voices, are words, words, words. We have some names for what happens in those nether reaches of the spectrum. Ineffable, sublime, transcendent, etc. The problem with those words, I thought today, is that they are too grand, out of proportion. Yes, many pre- and post-verbal states of mind are sublime. Many rise high toward the almighty anything or everything beyond. Many resist our best efforts to F them. But many, maybe most, are just ordinary, like mine today. Head blankly happy, away from both words and the names we use for those wordless spaces, especially beautiful to me, exactly for that reason. They're like me, what I aspire to be going forward, why I have to leave here to achieve it. The ordinary, a place where I can just be a person, where I am only Paul, small p, to maybe one or a few people who just like me, no big deal, not professor, capital P, or poet, weird p. Just let's get a cup of coffee right now and talk about whatever comes up, or let's get together tonight to watch a baseball game, or let's take a walk by the water tomorrow. All those other things that don't begin with a p aren't even words. No finger-walking, up and down an iPhone to find a remote future date for it. No hesitation because, well, maybe he's weird or wants too much. Something, anything at all from me. That vertigo of control being lost that can only arise when the desire for total control and the inherent distrust it breeds overfills the void of the mind with its baseless fears. Here, though, in Pittsburgh, you might counter, and several people have. I have a history, 40-plus years of it, a track record, a big advantage when you're this old, too late to start anew. But a history, a record, under certain circumstances, like mine have been these last 3 years, is also baggage, heavy baggage, the kind you know you'll never be able to lift out of the way. My wife died. And I went off the rails for a while. The little specter of death sat visibly enough on my right shoulder to scare people away. A sudden turn toward a restroom or a stairway as they saw me approaching from a distance. The awkward leaning backward, wound tight to leap stances they took when encounters were unavoidable. The endless finger walking down the iPhone when all I wanted was a 5-minute conversation right then. I got sad. I got mad at people I have to live with here now. That's baggage you have to drag around forever. Can't stick in a closet to hide. I wrote manically, essays, poems, books, and I shared them for free with everyone I knew, forced them forward unsolicited, as if that might help them understand better what I was up against. I wish I hadn't done that. Knowing that much about someone you have to see regularly is not good. All those things that won't be forgotten out there, even if they are already forgotten in here. that terrible legacy of words, the illusory always trueness of their actual only onceness. That is baggage, too, the kind you make others lug around if you invite them to read what you write. I need now to stow all of that baggage in a storage locker somewhere. Fail to pay the bill. Let Jared and Brandy or Mo and Mary pick it all up for a song at an auction someday. I need to get on a plane, just me, enough clothes for a weekend, and fly off into the sunset. I mean literally to the west, where I'm heading as soon as my last spring is over here. First, to see my daughter for a while, in Olympia, Washington. Summer, fall, long enough to forget what I left behind here. Long enough to begin to remember what I am, could still become. Long enough, maybe, to find a couple of people who know me just as the guy up the street or down the hall, the one who is always singing or humming when he walks by. The one who sometimes smiles and says hi, seems quiet, might be kind. The one, hey, maybe you'd want to have coffee with, watch a ball game with, walk with by the water. I might not find that with anyone anywhere, but I might too. So why not go? Take a chance. Who knows? Stranger things have happened in this world and in my life. So why not?